As the result of support that the various Highland chiefs had given to Prince Charles Edward Stuart during his campaign in 1745 and 46, some of them were executed, some were exiled. Many of them had their lands taken away. And the lands were given instead to either English owners or to nobles from elsewhere in Scotland who had supported the government. So later, many landlords were living often away in the big cities. The income which they were getting from the crofters, the tenants on their estates, was, in many cases, very small. And this corresponded with a period where the sheep herders of the south were looking for increased grazing land. The answer was simple: to let out their property in Scotland for the grazing of sheep. Now, you can't have sheep grazing the land and at the same time crofters farming it. The answer there, too, was simple. You remove the crofters. And throughout the Highlands of Scotland, tens of thousands of Scotsmen and their families were simply turned out and their homes were pulled down behind them. The luckier ones, if you can call it that, were put aboard ships bound for foreign lands. Many were just left to their own devices, and feeling no longer wanted and unable to rebuild a life in Scotland, somehow found means of taking themselves and their families to other parts of the world. It was at this time of the Highland clearances that thousands of Scots emigrated to the four corners of the world. And why today, in places like Canada, New Zealand, parts of Africa and elsewhere, there are so many examples of Scottish background. And largely why there's so much open space, so few people, and so many sheep in Scotland. It was a black time for the Highland Scots, but eventually Crofters' Acts were passed. Gladstone at last protected the tenants' rights. Now, during all of this time, other Scots were making great contributions to the Industrial Revolution, to commerce, education and medicine, and scientific progress. And many were at the forefront in the expansion of the British Empire. The Scottish regiments in the British Army became legendary. In the south of Scotland, especially in and around Edinburgh, there was a tremendous blossoming of literary, artistic and intellectual talent, producing such eminent men as Walter Scott, Robert Burns, Adam Smith, James Boswell and the Adam brothers. And Scottish contributions to the affairs of Britain and the world continue to this day. The Scots, throughout their long past, have been oppressed and exploited. They've been free and prosperous. They've gained their independence and lost it. They've fought to get it back and they've had it thrown away. Today, at peace, Scotland is a valuable part of the United Kingdom. Two national characteristics shine out to the visitor. One is a fierce national pride and the other is a genuine, warm, traditional hospitality. So that brings to a close our saga of Scotland. And I'd like to thank Geraldine McEwan and Andrew Cruikshank for joining us in the telling of it. Inevitably, it's not as detailed as it could be, and I make no apologies for romanticising, perhaps, some of the stories and characters that we've met. This, then, has been Scotland in the past. And the future? Well, that's another episode. But it hasn't been written yet.